Hello, and welcome to the Writing Redux podcast. I'm Beatrice Otto, and today I'm going to share with you a quotation from a wonderful book I read recently, which I bought in Budapest by a Hungarian writer, which gave me much food for thought, both the book itself and the quotation I'm going to share with you. Sadly, some things in the state of the world are driving me to spend more time thinking about how simple citizens, such as myself, can remain resistant to brainwashing by whatever brand of ideology. My main gripe is against the ideological mindset rather than any particular component idea of one or another package. By that I mean its frequent crushing of free, clear, rigorous, and above all evolving thought, including healthy mechanisms of self-correction in light of new insights, context, or facts. And people's willingness to hand over their minds to an allegedly greater wisdom often seems, considering some evidence from history, a disaster as much for society as for individuals. A few years ago, I had the bright idea that our education should include an additional form of IT, namely imagination training. To that, I'd now add independent thought. The detailed description which follows therefore struck me. It refers to a specific ideology, namely communism, but if the writer's conclusions hold true, then I believe they apply to pretty much any other flavour in the ideological ice cream parlour. Giorgi Faludi was a poet with a robust mind, spirit, and even body, having survived torturous interrogations and 3 years in a labour camp in Hungary in the 1950s, one of only 20 to emerge from a peak population of 1,700. The quotation shared with you here is from his superb memoir, with the captivating title, My Happy Days in Hell. Faludi's staggering erudition is matched by a dispassionately penetrating intellect, even when relating to the woman he was in love with and would later marry, Suzanne. His detached assessment of her motivations for joining the Communist Party demonstrate how hell can be engendered by the good intentions of good people, something Vasily Grossman underscores in his own comments on the dangers of big ideologies, no matter how well-meaning. Here's the beginning of the quotation. Suzanne had been driven into the Communist Party by her indignation against social injustice, by her father's richness, by her rebellion against her parents, by her benevolence, her humanity, and her historical and philosophical ignorance. Like everyone who joined the party for moral reasons, she gave up moral scruples as soon as she had joined. It was obvious that those moral scruples, silenced for a while, would sooner or later kill her faith in communism and would bring order to the emotional chaos which that faith had engendered in her. I was afraid, however, that this would take a long time. That's the end of the quote for now. There's more to come. More interesting for me, in general terms, are what he posits as a bulwark against brainwashing and other words beginning with B. Balderdash comes to mind, blather another, and I leave you to posit more. I've always regretted not having been made to learn Latin at school. Given the mental maturity of my teens, it would probably have had to be compulsory. And I've had a Latin course lined up for when I've mastered three of its living offspring. I'll keep you posted on that. Now I have another incentive to do so, as Faludi explains his belief that Suzanne would take a long time to emerge from her brainwashing. Back to Faludi, I'm quoting again. Strangely enough, I came to this conclusion from the fact that Suzanne had never studied Greek and had taken Latin only for a short time as a non-compulsory subject. In the course of the last few years, I had noticed that knowledge of classical tongues and of the humanities existed in an inverse ratio with the penetration of communist ideas, which may have been why communists hastened to abolish the teaching of Latin in the grammar schools. Not one of my 40 classmates had remained communists. Those who had joined were disappointed within a few weeks or months. The most devoted, stubborn, and biased supporters of the regime were middle-class people or intellectuals who had not studied Latin, while most of the communist writers or journalists occupying key positions had gone to technical schools, like Bandy Havash. I felt that it was the things I had learned in the Latin, Greek, and history classes of my school that formed the stumbling block on which communism foundered. Whenever I read the works or listened to the speeches of the ideologists or the politicians of the regime, the precise rules of Latin grammar and style warned me that the subjects did not correspond to the predicates, that the tenses were incorrectly used, and that the text was impure. Not only formally impure, but also in its essence, because the writer or speaker was lying, lying consciously, and was, in addition, bored with his own lies. The little I had learned in logic, correct and incorrect deduction, immunized me against the arguments, slogans, promises, predictions, and statistics of the communists. The entire Greco-Roman world rose up against their pompous, dull, and bilious life, from their nurseries hung with Stalin's portraits to their colorless and profane funerals, at which their corpses served merely as a pretext for the party secretary to attack Harry Truman in the funeral oration. All through their days, steeped in intrigue, wasted in joylessness, in reckless hysteria or neurotic sham calm, without sincerity, sensuousness, walks, revelry, and freedom. Wow, there's the end of the quote. I leave with a question: was Suzanne really brainwashed? I would suggest, judging by an anecdote Faludi cites, that she was. When her communist mentor asked her what she would be willing to do for the party, she thought a bit and said she'd be willing to die for it. His chilling response should have been enough to rouse a healthy skepticism, if not downright disillusion, in his student and catapult her out of her love of the party, at least in private. And you may be wondering what his response was. He said it wasn't enough to be willing to die, you must be willing to kill. So, among the forms of health I pray for myself and others, mental health, rigor, independence is part of that. Thank you for listening.